In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You may take your seats if you are here, if you are able to, and at home. In the time I have left, I really want to get to this portion of scripture. I actually wasn't going to read it tonight, but I want to right now. He is so good. He is so faithful. And we need to come to that point that we know that we stand and we walk on the truth of His word, not on anything else. And we are alive right now because of Him, because of what He has done for us, because of what He is doing right now in your life. If you are with me tonight, turn with me quickly to Matthew 3, verse 7 to 9. I need to read this to you. I'm going to lay a foundation. Stick with me quickly. Let me give you a bit of background to the scripture. Matthew 3, verse 7 to 9. You see, John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. Hundreds of people would come to hear his message. They would confess their sin. They would repent of their sin. And then he would baptize them in the river. You know what repentance is? And I know we've spoken about this before. Repentance is a decision to change, a decision to turn around. So when you come to Jesus and you say, God, I repent of all that I have done, you now leaving it in the past because Jesus says it's been washed away. Now you have to remember that it's in the past, and now you turn around towards Him and you turn and you say, God, I'm not going to do that what I did before I knew you, but I'm going to do what your word says. That's what repentance is, true repentance. So that's what John would do. People would come from all over to listen to his teachings. They would confess their sins, and then he would baptize them in the river. Now, the portion of scripture, Matthew 3, verse 7 to 9, this was John's response to some of the religious leaders. You read about the religious leaders in the Bible? The Pharisees and the Sadducees? Matthew 3, verse 7 to 9, this is what John says to them. But when he saw, this being John, many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch him baptize, he denounced them. He said, "You brood of snakes," he exclaimed, "who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, 'We're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham.' That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones." You know what he was saying to them? The Pharisees and Sadducees were thinking they were safe because they were descendants of Abraham. Abraham knew he's God. So they thought, because I'm descendants, I don't have to prove by the way I live, because I'm his descendant. But I want to tell you tonight, just as John was exclaiming to them this, just because you are his descendants doesn't mean anything. Just because your family knows God doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because your friend accepted Jesus and has told you about him before doesn't mean that you are going to heaven just because of your friend or your family. You have to know him yourself. That is what he came to do. You have to know him personally. You have to know Jesus. You have to know the one who came to this earth, who died for your sins, who rose again so you could be victorious, so you could be made whole, so you could be walking a life of freedom and victory set apart from the things of this world. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. That's what repentance is, a change. A change of direction, a change of purpose, a change of action towards God and what His plan is for your life. Your life reflects who you serve. Your life reflects who you obey. Your life reflects your relationship with God. Is your life reflective of this? Is it truly reflecting the God that you serve? Is it showing that you have changed direction from who you once were before you knew Jesus? He desires for you to come to Him and be in relationship with Him. He desires for you to know Him. And I want to go to this scripture quickly. 1 John 5 verse 4. Listen to what it says. For every child of God defeats this evil world And we achieve this victory through our faith. Did you get what it said there? It didn't say for every person defeats this evil world. I can say this boldly as a child of God, because the scripture says for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this through our faith. It's important to know we cannot be ignorant to the word of God, because understanding gives way to knowing. Understanding what is written, understanding what God says about you, understanding what he has placed on the inside of you gives way to you knowing it. Therefore, you can walk in it. Therefore, it can be that strong conviction, that firmly held belief on the inside of you that says, God, I don't worry about anything that's happening around me. I don't worry about what people are saying about me. I don't have to live by my opinions and my feelings, but I can live by your truth, because I live by faith. Faith in God. Knowing your position in Christ. 2 Peter 3 verse 18 says, rather you must grow, this is for the child of God, rather you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. And I want to touch on this topic quickly. Many want and confess Jesus as their Savior, but they don't want him as their Lord. You see, it's very easy, and the reality nowadays I've found is it's easier to have a Savior in a moment than a Lord every single day. It's easier. It's great knowing right now that I'm saved, that my sins are forgiven, but you know how you live victoriously? By letting Jesus be your Lord as well. Because it doesn't stop at salvation. It doesn't stop at that point. Yes, Jesus came. He paid that price. I accept him. I know my sins are forgiven. But now I don't just sit there. I don't stay there. I now have a life to live in victory, in freedom, in triumph. But that will only come by making him your Lord. Lord and Savior. Not just your Savior, but your Lord as well. Because a savior can be defined as one who saves someone or something from danger or difficulty. We know Jesus came to save us from our sins, to set us free from bondage. Now, Lord means this. Lord is one having power and authority over others. Who is your Lord? Is your Lord social media? Is your Lord your friends? Your family, who is having final authority over those decisions you make, over those words you speak, over those actions you take, how you treat other people, how you communicate with other people. Who is the Lord in your life? Because your life will reflect the one that you serve, right? Your life will reflect the one who you obey. So who is it that has final authority in your life? Because when I say, Jesus, you are not only my Savior, you are my Lord. I am positioning him in a place to have final say. I am positioning him in a place in my life where I say, God, it's only your word. It's only your word. It's only your truth. Because you need to know that Jesus didn't just go to the cross for fun. Jesus didn't rise from the dead for fun. He's not seated at the right hand of the Father for fun. No, he died on the cross for your sins so you could be made whole. He rose from the dead so you can be victorious, and he is seated in the place of honor at God's right hand for your benefit. So you can be victorious. So you can be free. So you can be bold. So you can be confident in who he is. But he can't just stop at Savior. He wants to be your Lord as well. We can't just have a Savior in a moment and then continue our lives just as that. We have to make him from that point Lord and Savior. God, you save me. Jesus, you came to pay the ultimate price. Now I make you have full authority over my life. I know what you did, that price. That price that was paid. So I can stand here in full benefit of what you did for me. In full benefit that I don't have to live in sickness. I don't have to live in sin. I don't have to live in poverty. I don't have to live in lack, because that doesn't bring glory to His name. And everything, I've made that decision. Everything in my life needs to bring Him glory. So if it isn't bringing Him glory, it needs to go. And it has no place. Because I've made that decision that God, Jesus, You're not only my Savior, but You are my Lord. You need to walk in that reality. You need to walk in that truth. He doesn't just want to be your Savior. He wants to be your Lord as well. Because when you allow Him that position, when you allow Him that place in your life, He can come in. You can say, God, I'm that living sacrifice as we spoke about last week. God, I'm available. I'm here for You. I'm here to be used by You. I'm here to be blessed by You. I'm here to live in prosperity. I'm here to live in blessing, abundance. But that comes from that decision of you laying down your life, saying, God, I know You are faithful. Now I'm going to play my part and I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to take Your word and I'm going to follow it. That means He's Lord over your life. Everything you do, can people see that He's Lord over your life? Because there is a very clear evidence between a child of God and a person of the world. We need to know that, because if it's not, then what was the point? There has to be a clear distinction between you and the people of the world. If you want to be that person, just like it speaks about in the Bible, they were ones, they saw that they were the ones that had been with Jesus. That sets you apart. That puts something on the inside of you. That turns you around and people say, but what is it about that person? But how are you so blessed? You're 13 years old, but how are you living like that? How is this happening in your life? Because I've made Him my Lord. Because He has final authority. Because He has full reign. The life you live as a child of God is the greatest miracle. It's the greatest decision that you could ever make. God has created you. Every single person on the face of this earth, you need to understand, God has created them. And now they live their life. They have to make that decision. God, I choose You. I choose. I accept. I am so thankful for that price that You paid for me. Or you can reject Him. But you know the amazing thing, the beautiful thing, the wonderful thing about Jesus is He still paid that price, and He knew there would be people that wouldn't accept Him. But you listening to me right now, you looking at me, He did it for you. He would have done it just for you. So we have to make that decision. So right now, I want every eye to be closed in this place. If you are sitting in here, I want you to start praying in the Spirit, those who are with me, even at home. Because I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you say, I hear this word. Yes, I may have accepted Jesus before, but I realize in me that I have not made Him my Lord. He has only just been my Savior. And now you need to move from that place of, Jesus, I understand the price that You paid for me. And I know that You don't just want to be my Savior, but You want to be my Lord and Savior. I want You to work in my life. I want You to do what only You can do in my life. So if that is you, or maybe you've never given your life to Jesus before, don't wait. Salvation is today. Don't wait for tomorrow. God wants to do something in your life right now that'll impact your tomorrow. That'll impact your next month. That'll impact your next year. You want to see God move miraculously in your life. Today's that day. Let Him do what only He can do. So if that is you in this place, every eye closed, continue praying in the Spirit. I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand so we can see, and you say, God, I want to choose You today. I want to choose You tonight. I may have accepted You before, but I realize I haven't made You my Lord. I haven't placed You first. I haven't given You full authority in my life. I want you to raise your hand so we can see you. And if that's you at home, I want you to I'm going to pray a prayer with you, and I want you to repeat it after me, because the Bible says you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if that is you in here, keep your hand raised, and if that's you at home, you want to accept him. Repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I believe that you sent your son to die on the cross for my sins. And I believe that he rose again for me. And right now, I confess that I have sinned against you. But tonight, I choose you. I accept you. I am a new creation because of what you did. And you are not only my Savior, but you are my Lord. You are my Lord and Savior. And I make the decision to live for you every single day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you are in this place, I want you to keep your hands raised, because we're going to have some ushers come to you, because we want to get your information. I want you to realize, when you become a child of God, you are in the family of God. You don't do this alone. We are a family. We are with each other. We build each other up. Communicate with us. Send us an email. Get in touch with us. Even write it in Facebook on the comments. I said that prayer. We want to get in touch with you. We want to love on you. We want to disciple you. We want you to see you walk in all that God has for you. He is good. He is faithful. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Will you stand with me in this place, even at home? We are going to go into a time of worship, fixing our focus on him. Everything we do to bring him glory. In Jesus' name.